Blog Talk Radio.
Scary moment just now. I'll get to it in a minute. The time is now 6:05 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:05 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is the 31st of July, 2021. Happy Saturday to each and every one of you, hope that you're enjoying your weekend. And we got a great show. We got some great topics coming up, some current affairs, which I'm sure you guys know some of the stuff that we're going to go ahead and get through. And that's in the first hour. In the second hour, our guest will be Mr. Edward Morgan. Mr. Morgan is, I just like to call him the beekeeper. He lives in my neighborhood, and I've watched this gentleman go from like two beehives to where he's just got so many bees. I would just be nervous going past his house. I was hoping that they just don't get out, you know, and all of a sudden it's like one of those science fiction movies. But, yeah, he's going to join us, and he's a black entrepreneur, or a black businessman, I should say. He's got his bees, makes honey, sells the honey, eggs, fresh eggs, vegetables, and everything. And I never knew all this until just the other day. Just the other day when I found this all out, and I said, you know, it would be interesting to have this brother on. Because it's really impressive if you go and check out his site. What is it called? B&B, I'm going to bring it up. You check out what he has, and I sent a clip to some of the co-hosts. And it's just impressive. He does tours and everything, so we'll get into all that. Again, welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm waiting for the co-hosts to pop in and chime into the show.
because the topics we're going to talk about in the first hour, there's so much going on. Let me scroll down here. Janet Davis, one of the co-hosts, she always puts together the itinerary of things we're going to talk about each and every Saturday. So I'm scrolling through. And she put a lot of stuff here. Okay. All right. I think I'm at the top of the list. No, I'm still scrolling. Wow. Look, this much stuff in here? Okay. Well, here's one of our co-hosts. All the way from California, please welcome the one and only Mr. Timon Chip. What's up, my brother Timon? Happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday, Mike. How are you, man? I'm sitting here under the air conditioning and having a beer and whatnot, you know, trying to enjoy the last few days of my vacation.
Hey, it's nothing like it, you know. Well, you said a few days. When that last day comes, that's what I wish I had a few more.
Yeah.
Say that again?
Tuesday's my last day. I go back Tuesday.
Oh, okay. You getting everything accomplished that you want to get accomplished before going back, or some things you got to take care of?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did, we're just waiting on a meeting. We're trying to set up a meeting with HBO Max for my script. So that, all those stuff went good. I'm supposed to have a show tonight. I don't know if they still want me to go, but I've had some shows. I've exercised the way I wanted, because I wanted to make sure that if I'm going to be off, I can, I'll be on a, because I work nights. So I would be on a regular sleeping. I was getting back on a regular sleeping schedule. I got up early. I do my walk, then hit the weights and all that stuff. So it was great. So I'm just, taking it. I had a great workout today. So. And I did another podcast today, so now I got this one,
Okay,
but
cool.
Everything's good. Yeah.
All right. So I'm pretty sure everything is nice and sunny in beautiful California. And I'll be glad. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
It's just hot, man. It's just been in the 90s and the 100s, Yeah, 97 has been the regular number, 100, especially in the valley.
You can cook more than an egg on the sidewalk. You can go ahead and throw some bacon and toast down there, too.
Right.
Let me open up this microphone. It's the lady of the house, Miss Janet Davis. Happy Saturday, Janet. How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Hey, Janet.
It's not hot here, but it's hot enough. It's not as hot as your place in California.
I don't know which is worse, either dry heat or humidity heat. Either one, they're bad.
Yes, it is. Wow. But when I went out to visit in California, I enjoyed the weather. It was like a big improvement over upstate New York, where it was real muggy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well. It's crazy because, they say there's no such thing as global warming. But, I choose to differ. I really choose to differ. Look at how the weather has been. We have a dump here where I'm at. As most of you know, Janet lives a little further north than where I am. And we had a thunderstorm that came through here in less than 10 minutes, that quick. I mean, it just thunder, lightning, poured, and then just stopped in a 10-minute time frame. It was that fast. So, I mean, I know sometimes storms come through here quick, but I've never I don't recall one that quick and that strong, to come through that quick. So
right, it got real dark real fast. Where I was at, it became real dark. It was like it looked like it was evening. And then the wind started blowing, then you hear the thunder, then it started pouring down rain. And like you said, maybe 10 minutes later, it was gone.
Right. That quick. It's just that crazy here. Like I said, it's got to be some global warming going on. People don't want to believe it, but hey, it is what it is. All right, so let me see here. Janet, I'm pulling up the information that you sent here. What we're going to talk about is what's happened with the what was it, the Department of Justice? The first one was it, wasn't it the Department of Justice about where the letter came out? I'm trying to find it.
That should have been
first
thing.
Yeah. Here it is. Okay. So, as we well know, the former president is known to, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of things he tried to change and twist and everything. Oh, but before I get into it, hold on. We got another co-host joining us. You know, always got to have the law in the house. Officer Crenshaw, happy Saturday, my brother. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Crenshaw.
Hey there, Officer Crenshaw.
Hey, Tomlin, how are you?
I'm good, man. You know, we making it. Yes, sir.
I came on and Janet was talking sexy. I heard her say something about it got dark.
Whoa.
I said, uh-oh. I missed something.
No, we were basically talking about the weather. The storm.
Right. Yeah,
I
call it the weather, too, and some people call it the business. So I'm just messing with you, Janet.
Wow.
I'm doing good. I tell you what, I didn't realize exactly how hot it gets here in Georgia until these past couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll take it over the rain, so I'm not gonna complain.
Well, you know,
for me, it's not the hot, because see, California's hot, just like Tymon said. It's in the hundreds there. It's the humidity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what gets me, is the humidity. When you get up in the morning and at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, if you don't have the AC on all night, you're sweating under the covers.
Yeah.
You know, that humidity that just creeps on you, you know. You walk out the front door, you're into a cold sweat. That's the only thing that that bothers me here. That's
and allergies. Michael, allergies. The other night, for two days in a row, I had a nonstop sneeze attack.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know, I had to double up on medicine, and it makes you miserable because you sneeze so much you feel like you're being electrocuted. You know,
right.
So I was miserable.
Right. You know, my phone is just trying to act a fool all the time. Okay, I think I got the story back up again. Going back and forth. Where is it at? When I get set to it, when I tried to open it up, it went back to my search again, to the top of my search, and I don't know why it keeps doing that. I just don't know why. Okay, so let me go ahead and try again. Connect. And see if I can pull this up. All right. Okay. All right, so Trump pressed Justice Department to declare election results corrupt. That's what the notes show. Quote, leave the rest to me and to congressional allies, the former president is said to have told top law enforcement officials. As the story goes, Washington, President Donald Trump pressed, come on now, I know what it is.
What is it?
You got the New York Times, huh? You got this from the New York Times, and it wants me to get an account. All right, so that's not going to work. So I'm going to put Trump. Pressed. What was it? The
Attorney General, Acting Attorney General.
Justice Department, it says here. I'm sorry. That's my fault. I should have opened it up and checked that ahead of time.
Well, what else has Trump done? everything. Since that time. So.
A lot. They finally got where they can get his taxes, and I think Michael's going to probably talk about that because he's been cloaked and daggering for the past few months, I mean years, on not wanting anybody to see his taxes. But everything is coming to a head now. So.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
You know, but I said this, Officer Crenshaw, that, well, no, I don't know if you guys heard of Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney said there's more to come. She said
it. Yep.
Because they coming to get you. So everything leads back to Trump. Everything. And as you just saw, that DOJ thing, he was behind it. He's too stupid to know that he should not get involved. See, it ain't like his businesses, like, you know, like Weisselberg can cover for him. Because he'll say, I don't do email. But when you're in federal, you're the president, you can't do that. So
right.
Everything leads back to you. Just like when
right.
they said, well, how come there were no troops sent? There were no troops sent because Trump told them to stand down. And of the troops that were there, they had no guns. They were doing traffic duty. He lied to the Capitol Police and told them, oh, they'll be peaceful protesting. They knew that was a damn lie. He told those people to do that. And they're going to find that you saw where that congressman let those people in, right? Where that door was, let them in. That was all by design. That's why McCarthy's trying to shut this down. And Jim Jordan tried to blame Nancy Pelosi. How are you going to blame Nancy Pelosi for the insurrection? That's crazy.
Well,
that woman ain't got nothing to do with that.
What congressperson let them in? I missed that.
Oh, the door. Remember one of the guys said he came under, he went under oath and said, yeah, I did it, but. And it was a side door where some guys came in. They knew how to get in that place. They showed them, and they're going to find out who they were. I'm telling you, it's going to come out that these people set this up, and they all going to. That's why they've been trying to stop it, because some of them can go to jail. They don't even know
that's
it.
Because they gave tours a couple of days before the insurrection, where a whole lot of people were coming through, and people were trying to figure out why are they coming through when everything was shut down because of COVID. You know, and then next thing you know, here's the insurrection.
All right, I'm back. That was a little issue on this end. I'm sorry, I had an issue on this end with my phone, so I have to dial back in. So I apologize. Let me just go through this. I pulled this up where it says, in a telephone call in late December, then President Donald Trump pressured senior Justice Department officials to declare the 2020 election, quote, corrupt, unquote, in an effort to help him and his Republican allies in Congress try to overturn the outcome, according to documents provided to a House committee. It was previously known that Trump publicly and privately pushed the Justice Department to investigate his baseless claims that the election was stolen. But the new documents, 9 pages of contemporaneous notes from a December 27th phone call between Trump, then acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, and then acting Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue, provide new insights into those efforts. The notes which were taken by Donahue show Trump raising his now familiar falsehoods about rampant vote fraud in Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Quote, we have an obligation to tell people that this was an illegal, corrupt election, Trump is quoted as saying. On the call, Rosen, who took over at the Justice Department after Attorney General William Barr resigned and Donahue pushed back, they tell Trump, quote, the DOJ can't and won't snap its fingers and change the outcome of the election. Doesn't work that way. Trump responds, don't expect you to do that. just say that the election was corrupt. Leave the rest to me and the our congressman. So he just wanted
right.
to say. So what does that make you think? Now, have they done it? What sneaky things that he and the R, which is Republicans, I guess the R would have been the Republicans, congressmen, because it's not congressman, it's congressmen, meaning I guess the Republican. They already had a plan, right? Had they
right.
went ahead and did it. He had already talked to them. Said, well, if we get them to do it, then we can do what I want us to do. So he has. They all had to have known.
Well, yes, they all knew Mike. But what happened, and which is why he's such a jackass. The man's a jackass because they told him. Barr even said, "Dude, you lost. I can't cover this for you, and Pence can't cover you. You're trying to sell a lie." And you can keep selling lies. And that's when Barr said, look, I'll take you as far as part of the bridge, but I ain't jumping. Your ass can jump, but I ain't jumping. You go this far, this is it, as far as I go. Pence even told him, this is as far as I can go. Okay? Because we got people, even McConnell, I can't lie for you no more. All right? Because you're making us look like idiots. All this education we got, all this we've done, you're throwing it out the window. Because if this comes down to it and they open the door, you can't just keep saying, oh, that, don't pay attention to that. It's not what you think it is. Oh, it's just liberal rhetoric. No, bruh, no. We got you. Liz Cheney, daddy has been in her ear. You know Darth Vader has been talking to her daughter and said, you need to get rid of this moron and make sure that this never, ever, ever happens again. They going after these people, and they getting ready to go down. And it may take 4 years to get it all done, but all of them going to pay. And you'll never see another Donald Trump. I guarantee you that. You ain't going to see one. He show up, they better not even think about it. It's over. Might be the end of Fox News and all the crap that they done did, because now they're telling everybody to go get a vaccine, so you can't keep right. the lie up.
Right. You might not see another Donald Trump, but you're going to see one of his little minions, you know.
Oh, they'll
because
try
you got
again,
some,
but that, but,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you will have another. I mean, but remember, we got to make sure that we don't get any more of these. How did they
that's
come
me.
Up? We got 75 million guys that still people that believe that this fool won.
Mm-hmm.
How do you sell a lie like that? Okay, Hitler figured out how to sell a lie to get people to kill the Jews. Chairman Mao sold it to the peasants in China on how to kill his own people. Okay, and now we're doing it over here.
That's right.
We can sell it over here. We're doing it over here in the United States. Selling them on, and you know, social media, and Zuckerberg is like, he's the most evil dude out there because he's all about being rich and making money, and he sees how the ignorance is in our society. Just look at the pandemic. I mean, come on,
mm-hmm.
you sitting on your deathbed, now you want to ask the doctor, can I get the vaccine? He said, oh no, brother, I got to get ready to read you your rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're about to go. Ain't no getting no vaccine now. And you find out, who are they? Trump supporters. The damn
That's
thing.
Right.
Can't believe it.
And Facebook was in hot water right after the elections because of all the disinformation that they were letting get on Facebook, and people were believing it. Just like Donald Trump says, you tell a lie enough times, people will start believing it. And so that's what he strive on, lying.
Well, remember the lie started 6 months ago. I mean, way back, right before the election. He said, if I don't win,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be rigged. So he had already put that narrative out. Okay?
That's right.
Remember, he messed up the CDC with Azar, okay? He fired the inspector general that was watching the money when the first checks went out. Those first loans went out to the banks, to the people. Who got the money? The corporations. His buddies got it. Why? Mm-hmm. Because he fired the inspector general that was watching where the money went. Anybody that had an eye on what he was doing, he fired them.
That's
he
right.
Fired every last one of them. And I said, man, you are a dirty dog, man. You are just – and that's why they can take that patriotism and shove it up their ass. They ain't ever been patriot, nothing. That white boy done sold his country out so many times. Oh, my God. He has sold it out, been selling it out. They don't believe none of that mess, putting your hand over your heart and all that. They don't care nothing about that. No.
Not when you take and beat people with the American flag during an insurrection, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's how much you care about the police and the American flag?
Right. So they say.
Hmm.
So, in other words, you guys are saying that in German and in Russian, Trump, the word Trump means liar.
Oh, my God. The boy can't fall. The boy fall out of bed telling lies. He should be in jail for all the women he raped.
Yeah.
He should be in jail. I mean, you know, I'd have more respect. I mean, the guy who was on the bus with him that said, you know, grab him by the pee, right?
Mm-hmm.
That dude got fired. Trump still had his job. But it was Trump. Trump said it.
I wouldn't come forward either if I was one of them women and I had to explain Trump's body on me doing all type of stuff. I wouldn't come forward either. I'd still be embarrassed and ashamed.
Right. And that tells you another thing about our society. How far are we willing to go? Remember, I said the pandemic will expose our humanity. It will expose who we are. It will expose the selfishness in our society. That you're more concerned that, oh, I ain't wearing no mask, you taking my freedom, you blah, blah. No, idiot, we're trying to make sure that people don't die. But that don't mean nothing to you. And now you on the bed, and the doctor's, you know, reading you, you know, letting you know, no, you can't get it. All because you didn't want to, oh, no. They putting chips in our arm. And, you know, you saw what happened to Tuskegee Institute. Yeah, we remember all our history. But it was a black woman that helped put that damn vaccine together.
Mm-hmm.
For black folks that want to know, there was a sister involved in that. Come on, you know, we know our history, but you can't be that damn dumb. That virus don't care what color you are.
Mm-mm.
It don't care. And when it gets
right now, it's attacking all the younger people, you know, children and everything.
Let me ask y'all this. Hey Mike. Where Mike at? He on there? He gone again?
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mike, do you know what a non-binary person is?
A non-what now? I'm sorry.
Not non-binary.
Well, non-binary, well, I guess it is something.
Binary.
You said binary, B, right?
Yes. Yeah, binary, yes. Non-binary.
Right. Okay. So I would think it would be like someone like a where you have a binding contract. You cannot have a person that you cannot have a binary agreement with.
No. That Janet, do you know?
Isn't that non-binary? Were you talking about COVID?
No. How about you, Officer Crenshaw?
I do not know.
non-binary is a person.
I just pulled it up. So go ahead.
It's a him and a her. It's a
gender
him and a her.
Identity definition.
Yeah, so this is a new thing, talking to this white cat, and he says, yes, my girlfriend is non-binary. And I said, he said, no, she's not a she, it's a them. I said, but there's only one of her. She said, no, yeah, one person, but she's a them. She's both of them. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, but now I got to, we going to be together, but we're only able to have sex right now because she hasn't taken her testosterone levels have not went up. Now, once her testosterone levels go up, then things will change. And I'm saying it will still be them, yes, because it ain't a her. It's a her and a he, yeah, but it's two. So it's them, yeah, one, two. And he had to go home and explain that to his parents. Can you imagine going home and having to explain that to our parents today?
So one day it'll be a he, one day it'll be a she, right?
I'm confused.
Did that person take medicine to make themselves change, like transgender?
Well, they are non-binary, so you're both. They don't give themselves as a her. They don't give themselves as a he. They are a them.
Mm-hmm.
No matter
what. Neither male or female, just in between.
Them.
Wait. What do they have? Because, wow. Okay, wait a minute. A person with both.
Go ahead, boy. Go ahead now.
A person with both is a morphodite. So where did the non-binary, do they not have anything? Or have both?
What it is, she has the female part, but she's going to get testosterone injections, which will give her more male. So testosterone male, you know, it will give her more male. So she will probably be she'll have both. So she'll have her feminine side, and then she'll have a very strong testosterone male side, but she will be a them. She will not be, she'll be both. Even though she only got one part.
When it gets dark and the thunder starts doing the business, which one?
Well,
what
now,
role?
Now mind you, she's still female. I know you are. That's why I said it, and that's why I brought it up. Still female, but she's going to have testosterone injections. So she will have a kind of a male bravado with a combination of female, but she still just got the female parts.
But that's not transgender.
It's non-binary. No. It's non-binary, not transgender.
That's
non-binary.
So that means
they're both. They're called a them. They're not called a her. They're not called a he. It's called a them. And you
when you look at transgender, when you look at transgender, that's where when a person who was a male transgen to be a female, right?
Right.
If you look at like Cassidy Bono, remember Little Cassidy?
She's transgender.
She's transgender because now she's got the hormones for her to change it. She changed her, you know, they changed all the parts. This individual will have all the female parts, but she'll have enough testosterone to where she'll have more of a male. I guess I understand what you mean. She'll have more of a male type of bravado,
but she'll be
or
considered both. Yeah. Growing up,
didn't we just call them tomboy?
What is non-binary? It says new gender pronouns. LGBT gender advice. Okay, except let me go ahead and open up this one here. This one says sexual orientation and gender identity definitions. So when you go to sexual orientation, gender expression, I'm looking for non-binary.
I'm still confused because from what Timon is saying, and from what y'all are explaining, you know, that's just, to me, a strong woman. I was always attracted to women that could do the same things that I could do, run as fast as me, you know, do all mm-hmm. that stuff. So I don't – they just had to have a name.
Yeah, so, well, that, now, so now that woman that you're talking about –
I can probably run faster than you. So
watch out now. Watch out now.
Watch out now. Watch out. That sounds like a race. Somebody's trying to bet you off the Crenshaw. She just came right out
all
and just
right,
said,
so,
I can beat you running.
Okay, so check this out. Here's what it says. It says being non-binary. It says non-binary is an umbrella term to describe people who identify with a gender outside of the gender binary and can be categorized under the trans umbrella term. Although not all non-binary people identify as trans. The word non-binary describes a wide array of different identities which fall outside of the gender binary and can be related to or completely separate from male and female gender identities.
That's right. They're called a vim. They're called a vim.
A woman that still wants to be a woman, but she'll let you know she can whoop your ass. Right.
Okay. Now, if you're in the situation, so when I was asking the cat, I said, so when you guys, you can't call her her. He said, no. You can't call her a he? No. You have to call her a them. I said, but there's only one of her. He said, I know, but she's both of them. I said, but wait a minute, man. Who went and measured everything? She did. She measured everything. It's kind of a balance that they have, and you know. And I said, but she has female parts. Yes, she has female parts, but she's getting her testosterone injections, and then they'll kick in, and after they kick in, then it'll be a little bit different. I said, really? So will she be stronger than you? And he, well, she'll probably have some. You know, there'll be some strength issues or anything like that. I'll sit there laughing my ass off because you can't explain it. I mean, and if you try to explain it to, say, some people, you know, in today's world, like the baby boomers or whatever, they're going to look at you like you lost your mind. What the hell?
Because, see,
you're
I don't
non-binary.
Mind. I don't mind a little hair, you know, in certain places. You know, that so if she's going to grow hair, you know, okay, you know, arms, legs, you know, just don't have Andrew Dice Clay on the back of your shoulders. You know, that would freak me to hell out right there.
Right. Well, but I mean,
I have a beard like Santa Claus.
Right. And you know, but there are people out there, you know, different strokes for different folks, you know, and they start doing, and I just thought it was comical to me. Because he's got a buddy that's hanging out with him, and so they were here. They're at a bar, and the guy says, somebody complimented the woman." She said, "I'm not that. I'm non-binary." He said, "You must say hello to both of us." He said, "But there's only one of you there." He said, "I'm with them." Well, I laughed.
Wow.
You can't explain this shit. You can't. I mean, damn, you'd have to. I'm like, can I get some tequila, please? I need a tequila shot. Hey, you know what?
You're saying stuff twice. Hi.
Yeah.
You know, see you later.
Yeah.
You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of one of, you know, remember the movie Coming to America? Remember when he was going out to, when they were going out to the club and was meeting all those different women? Remember that one? She had two personalities. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's what it makes me think of.
Yeah, but I mean,
isn't that the one he had a baby with in the second Coming to America?
No, she wasn't in the first one. They don't tell you in the first one. You don't even know about that. But and they never even bring who that was. In fact, they never even said. They just said that at that time, but they don't really say that it was that night at the club. I don't recall them saying that, but
right.
It wasn't that character. You weren't even introduced to that character, but it did happen right. One night when they were out. All right, so let's go forward, you guys. Let's see. Oh, this is sad. This was the next one on our list, but the final body was recovered from the collapse of. From the Florida condominium. Wow. we talked about this, and we know there's going to be some there's going to be a lot of litigation going on. Trying to find that there. Where is it at? Wow, I don't know why, Janet. When you upload this to me, it shows a bunch of after it gives me the link, it gives me all these percentage signs and numbers and alphabets, you know.
What?
After. I don't know why it's doing that. It sure does. Off of my screen, I got to scroll so far. Let me see if this one will open up.
Oh,
but,
wow.
See if this one opens up. And if
it
I got it now, but I just want to make sure it doesn't ask me. The last missing person in the collapse of a condominium building in Surfside, Florida, has been recovered and identified, bringing the death toll to 98, according to Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava. The remains of Estelle Adia, 54, were finally identified by authorities. The victim's younger brother told the Associated Press. A total of 242 people are now accounted for, Levine said. Quote, although we have identified all of the victims, now this threw me off, where she says, how come it scrolled up on me like that? Okay, although we have identified all of the victims that were reported missing, the Miami-Dade Police Department continues the ongoing search and recovery effort on the evidentiary pile to ensure that all identifiable human remains are recovered. Miami-Dade Police Department Director Alfredo Ramirez noted that human remains have been recovered recovered at the secondary site of the collapse where the remaining part of the condominium building stood before it was demolished 3 weeks ago. Quote, we're recovering human remains and will continue to process them. We're still working on the evidence pile and will continue until we deem that we've done everything we can. Now, it kind of threw me off the first time I read it, but I think I understand it now because it seemed like they had the numbers off. You know what I mean? At first,
mm-hmm.
Did anybody catch that? Seemed like the numbers were off. I'm sorry.
I didn't catch that, but I was still trying to figure out why you saying percentages and things are showing up when I pull up the actual link.
Yeah, but I'm just saying when you copy it over to me, it shows me the link, and then after it shows on my phone, then it's got this whole line of numbers and symbols and like the percentage.
But
you know,
I'm looking at your site, at your thing, and I'm pulling them up from you or Michael Gay, and it's coming up correct. So, but we'll figure that out next week.
Yeah. I don't know why it's doing it, but that's definitely what's happening. But I pray that it's sad that happened, but I pray that those folks didn't suffer. You know, when you look at that video, I really pray that if any of them were alive beneath the rubble, I hope that they didn't have to stay alive long, to be honest.
Well, they're trying to go on and sell so they can rebuild, but a lot of the families want to have a memorial put instead because they said it's going to be too painful to see another condominium being erected.
I wouldn't want to live on a property like that. You know what I mean? You know, that many people died, you know, and you know about it every time you go home. It's like, this many people died on this property all at once. I wouldn't want to live in a building like that. It would just feel eerie to me, you know. Do you guys remember many years ago? I don't think you were living in California. In fact, I doubt you were living in California at that time. But there's a town by San Diego called San Ysidro, and a guy went into a McDonald's and killed a bunch of folks, including kids. I think he killed about six or seven folks. But they tore that McDonald's down and they made it into a park in honor of those kids. But, you know, that's a lot of land there for that condominium. They don't want to make that into a park. They can't make any money.
Right.
Somebody's trying to sell it.
They can turn it into a strip mall. And name some of the
you know that
worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and so they don't want to lose out on that because that company is being sued by a lot of those families for their loved ones.
Oh yeah, they're definitely going to get sued.
Settlement can be if they turn it into a strip mall. Some of the businesses can be named after the family members.
Mm-hmm.
Or connect with some.
Well,
I don't know
that. Go ahead.
I mean, I was going to say that they forget about, you know, how much, you know, how Florida. I mean, because you're going to there's some corruption going on, and you're going to find out that there was some, they built that building shady, and they probably built a lot of them in a shady way to get that money, and because you know, Florida's known for its sunk holes also. Those giant
mm-hmm.
holes that the houses were been sinking. So I'm not surprised. You know, it's just, I mean, I'm telling you, it just exposes how greedy, you know, people are. It really exposes about our society because that building has been in disarray for a while. And they had inspections done on it. God told them it was no good, and they didn't do nothing. Those people didn't have to die. That was human error. That was human error. And hey, somebody, when they finish their investigation, somebody going to pay. It's going down. They might as
mm-hmm.
well get ready. They might as well pack their bags and get the hell on because somebody's going to jail. You know, you just can't get out of that one. No, you just can't get out of that one. So you know, they need to understand what's going on. That's why you know when we look at all the different investigations going on, you look at Trump and you look at all these different things. I mean, and let us not forget, Rudy Giuliani is still in trouble too.
That's right.
Don't forget about Rudy. Rudy gonna sing, baby. Rudy about to sing. The Trumpster can cancel Christmas, baby. I'm telling you, they're getting ready to come down upon him. So they
yeah,
need to make sure.
Trump didn't pardon Giuliani, right?
No, he did not. He did not.
Yeah.
Oh, Giuliani. Mm-hmm. Yep. He's going to want somebody to stand up for him.
Well, Giuliani is supposed to be one of the people that's supposed to be disbarred because of the lies they told.
Oh, yeah, they
about
got
him.
Mm-hmm. They got him. They sure did. There's going to be some more. Bring it on down, baby. Come on.
Come on.
I never thought I would be loved to see somebody get burned as much as this man. And I mean, you know, a lot of Republicans are quiet as church mouse. They don't say a word, especially down in my lounge, man. They don't say a word because they know if they do, they're going to get crucified. But y'all ain't got a leg to stand on. When they get through, hey, y'all might as well all pack y'all stuff and get on.
That's right. So
the sad thing is they're going to have a waiting list for prison because it's going to be like the next retirement home. For
right.
So once you all these people
wait,
go into prison.
Michael didn't mention this, and the show, we're getting ready to go into the second half. But did you guys see where the Representative Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene went to a president in Washington, D.C., and wanted them to demand it that they let them look at see the inmates that were arrested because of the insurrection?
What?
Yeah.
That was intimidation. Because when they start pulling those people out of prison to testify and give their statement, they figured that they could either go there, intimidate them, or promise them certain things in order to speak through it.
Well, hey, he went there to see to measure how good his prison gonna look. When he got in there, see that, yeah, get used to it, because that's where his ass is going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might as well get ready. You keep saying, oh, there, look at you about to join him, buddy. Because, hey, his voice, his buddy sang on him, too.
Yeah, it's just amazing how all the things that the Republicans are doing, all just out in the open now, you know, as far as trying to change the voting rules and, you know, just every day is something different, you know.
Right.
I thought we had got rid of the circus when Trump was out of office, but it's still going on strong.
Well, I mean, you have to, you know, you got to continue to sell the lie, or you ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we
all still watch that movie, Big Fat Liar, just like, you know, we watch Home Alone and Home Alone 2. The only difference is, instead of turning blue from the swimming pool, he turned orange.
Right.
Big difference.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes, sir. Yes, he did.
So I'm trying to figure out what happened to Mike. Maybe he's talking with our next guest that's going to be coming on. Yeah, but he said he's been having issues with his phone. Yeah, so anyway, I was really surprised to see that they actually thought they could go into the prison at any given time and just ask to see people, and they're supposed to just open up their doors and say, come on in. You know, what are they living in?
But see, that's an entitled mentality. You can't be a black congressman or representative and go to prison and demand to see somebody without them telling you, you better get your ass out of here. So they
not leave.
The entitlement, they can do that.
Hmm.
Well, here's the thing. I'm back. Here's the thing that when I saw that article, that surprised me. And what went down, it was the two of them went to a prison in D.C. to see the inmates that are there that are being held. In fact, the judges declined bail on them because they felt they were too dangerous to release. And these are, I believe, majority of them are Republican judges. Too dangerous to release, and also for them to have the nerves to go to a prison unannounced, and that's what the prison said. They wrote in a letter that they showed up unannounced with a small camera crew. And when you look at the video, you see where you go and you look at the video and you see what is the name of that news channel, OAN, One American News is there. Now, you know, that's the new Republican propaganda channel, not Fox. It's One American News. So they got wind that they were going there, right, and a few others. Now, I look online, and I see some of these First Amendment auditors, right, that show up around, you know, jails and everything, and they stand on the public sidewalk. They don't cross the line and go onto the property because there's signs everywhere, you know, private property or whatever when you go to certain jails or restricted areas and everything. Granted, you can go in if you're going to visit anybody, but you have announcements and everything. But the whole thing I'm saying is that where that privilege, they felt like, hey, we're politicians. We got the right to come in here unannounced, bring a camera crew, and talk to our base. But they don't. That's privilege all over. And Green had the nerves to say, well, because they don't want us to see what's going on. It has nothing to do with it. You can't break the law to see what's going on. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
And then the jailer, the lady jailer said, she said, well, you're trespassing. And Green says, no, we're not. She said, no, right now you are. I mean, and the jailer looked at her and said, no, right now you are. because she already told you. And, you know, and the one thing, you can't trespass unless, well, unless you've been warned. If it's clear that there's a sign, that's one thing. But if you go into a property and you're disturbing the peace or whatever, or you're acting unruly, they can say, well, you know what? We're going to rule you as trespassing. So once you walk away now, you are not allowed to come back. Because next time we see you here, you're going to jail for trespassing because you have been verbally giving a warning. Next time you show up here, you're trespassing. Now, if they went back the next day. If they went back the next day, it could have been trespassing. Uh-huh.
Most prisons have the big old signs up there saying that you are only supposed to come in during the visiting hours, not until then and not after.
Yeah, you got to have, and also that has to be signed down by the warden. The warden has to know that you're coming. They don't want nobody surprising them showing up. Oh, hell no. I mean, I work at juvie. Mm-hmm. They don't allow me. I can't just, nobody can just walk into juvenile hall.
Especially cameras.
Yeah.
Well, when you have visitors, when you have a visitor, you got to let them know who's coming, you know, and what time. Well, they let you know what time your visit is. You got to let them know who's coming. So then once you let them know who's coming, they put it down. And then the thing is, and let's say that person comes, they visit you, they leave, and somebody else pop up to visit you, that's your one visit. You ain't getting any more visits. But they, but those prisoners didn't know that Gates and Green were coming.
No.
You follow me? They didn't know that. So still and again, you can't do that. All right, you guys, we got to move forward because it is the top of the hour. And I'm looking at the board now. It looks like our guest has arrived. So let's just take a quick break, and we're going to go ahead and let me get some things in order here before we get started. Let's just take a quick break. Simon, you have to step away, or are you going to hang with us for the next hour?
I have to step away, yeah.
Okay, man, we appreciate you stopping by, man. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
We enjoyed
it. We'll see you Officer Crenshaw. Janet, you guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Simon, you too, man, and be safe.
I will, man. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. Why don't we just take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll introduce our guest, Mr. Edward Morgan, be joining us momentarily. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Here's Ellison Kendrick. It's Saturday night. Time to put on your black suit.
Hey. We're gonna have some fun. Just come and go with me somewhere where you will be my only one. Ooh, it's gonna be a beautiful thing. It's gonna be like your dream. Let's make this a night you remember. It ain't over till the fat girl sings. You can put some rings on, get your makeup and your hair done, slip that sexy dress on, and make cartoons repeat the song. You can paint your nails too, but don't forget your dancing shoes. Can't wait to get you in my car. Well, you know I'm gonna rock you. When we step up in the club and everybody's staring at you, I know I got your attention, 'cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, 'cause I got on my black suit. To VIP, you can sit and have a drink with me. The conversation's good, we laughing on the dance floor to the beat. Baby girl, let me take your hand, turn around, let me see you dance. your booty so sweet, you touching on me is more than I can stand. I love it when you get too on, I'm feeling like I'm on one. We can put these drinks down and make the DJ play your song. You can even sing too, but don't forget who came with you. Can't wait to get you in my car, where you know I'm gonna rock you. When we step up in the club, cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit. I got on my black suit. I got on my black suit. And I'm wearing it just for you. So hard till you make me sweat. Play with my feelings, take control of me. Till I don't even know what's coming over me. I got to know what's going on, baby, after the club. Don't be shy, don't be acting cute. Help me with a sign on my black suit. When we step up in the club,
back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show. That was Mr. Ellison Kendrick from Black Suit. Oh, man, I love that groove. You know, like I said, a friend of mine said that that's one of them stepping songs. And welcome back with my co-host, Janet Davis and Officer Crenshaw. Enjoyed the first hour. Hopefully you guys who have been listening in enjoyed the conversations that we're having. But coming up right now, and I'm going to introduce him, I live in a neighborhood that's pretty nice neighborhood, you know. Everybody's pretty cool. And there's a neighbor not too far from me. I will go by his home and notice these beehives, you know. And I don't mean like in the tree, but these structures. And I saw a couple of them. And as time went on, I started seeing more and more and more. And like I said, to be honest, I was almost scared to death to walk or drive by the house. Because I was like, you know, I was thinking like one of those horror movies, you know, Attack of the Killer Bees. I'm joking. But after find out that just the other day, a friend of mine was coming by, and they stopped by his house, and they said, hey, I just picked up this honey from the house up the street where the beehives are. I said, you know, I was wondering. I figured all those bees, what could he be doing with them? And I got a little bit of the honey and tasted it, and it was really good. And then I've come to find out not only just bees, but he has chickens, fresh eggs. Amazed me that right here, this brother lived right here, and he was doing all this, and I had no idea, and this has been going on for some time. But please welcome to the show our guest, Mr. Edward Morgan. How you doing, Edward?
Hey, hey.
I'm great.
Thank you.
Hi.
All right.
How we doing?
Well, thank you.
Doing good, doing good.
Okay. By the way, Edward, that's Janet Davis and also Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw on the line. Those are two of my co-hosts. So they're going to be asking a few questions. So, Edward, give us a little information about yourself so we get an understanding. Because, like I said, as I already shared, you know, seeing how you grew your business and how it's been growing and growing – give us a little idea on what got you started into, and I cannot pronounce the name correctly. Janet tried to help me. What is it called?
Apiarist.
There it is. Right.
It took me a minute to pronounce it correctly myself.
Right.
So, because before I got in it, I'd never heard of it. And so I was like, what is that again? So it took a while. But anyway, So I stumbled across this business about 4 years ago. My wife and I moved from Charlotte. I met my wife in Charlotte, and we moved to Atlanta, and we bought 10 acres in 1996. Had no clue what we were going to do with the 10 acres, but we just liked the character of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife got a promotion to California. So after being there for 12 years, both our kids were born there. We moved to California for 4, and then we moved to Delaware for 4, and then we moved back in 2016. So when we moved to California after living on 10 acres, you know, the homes are pretty close. And I said, if I ever get back, I'm going to do some gardening. And I wanted to sell the fruits and vegetables. You know, I just wanted to do something small. So when we finally came back to Atlanta, I was doing the research and I stumbled across something that said you should have bees if you want to have a successful garden. So after reading that, I went on Craigslist and there was a guy selling bees out of his backyard, about 5 miles down the road. And so, you know, this guy opened up the beehive without a suit on. He held them for a minute. He was explaining a few things, and then he gave it to me, a frame full of bees. And I'm like, whoa, I've never seen anything like this before. And I was frightened to death because I thought I was going to get stung.
Right.
Well, I bought the bees and put them in the backyard. Didn't have a bee suit or anything. I just put them in the backyard. So when we were gone to California, we turned the house into an Airbnb. So we had a house in Charlotte. We converted to an Airbnb, and then we turned that house into an Airbnb. And when I came to Atlanta, there was a lady that formed a network group for Airbnb hosts. So I joined the group, and I had been in there for a while. And one day I said, hey, I just bought some bees. And she was like, great. You can do this new thing called Airbnb Experiences. And so, you know, she was telling me about it because I'd never heard of it. And I was like, no, I'm not interested in that. I bought the bees to put them in the backyard. And, you know, I was just going to grow my fruits and vegetables.
Right.
This lady wouldn't take no for an answer. And by this time, I've been married over 20 years. And I didn't need another woman telling me what to do. So for an entire month. It's funny now, but I even told her that. So for an entire month, this lady, I say she harassed me. She says she encouraged me. So the last day to fill out the application, she called me. She was like, you need to fill this out. And I told her, I said, I'm going to fill this out to shut your mouth. Okay, and we laughed about it.
Mm-hmm.
I filled it out on a Sunday night, and I woke up on Monday morning, and I was approved on the Airbnb platform that I sent you the other day. That's how I was introduced to the Airbnb experience. Now, after I was approved, keep in mind, I still didn't have a bee bill. The bees were just sitting in the backyard. The bees were for the fruits and vegetables that I was going to plant. So once I was approved, I'm like, oh, okay. So now I need to learn something about the bees. So I went to the local library, checked out a couple of books, went on YouTube, and I started learning about the bees. About 2 weeks later, somebody actually booked the experience. And I'm like, I need to get bales.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to put my program together on how I was going to do this because I told them it was going to last about an hour and a half.
Right.
So I got myself together and I figured some stuff out. And, you know, and it's called Beekeeper 101. The reason it was called that is because it was very basic 4 years ago. Well, I'm advanced now. And so somebody, you know, the first guest, you know, they wrote a review. It was very basic. I showed them the queen. I showed them the male bee. I showed them some honey, showed them the honeycomb. And, you know, I finagled some stuff. And they liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took off. Now, let me back up for a second. So I didn't have the bail, so I went on Amazon. You can buy anything on Amazon because I didn't know anything about bee clubs and bee companies. So I bought the bale on Amazon. And so, you know, people started booking, and then I stumbled across the Metro Atlanta Beekeepers Association. It's a formal group. Who knew? I didn't know. Mm. So I go to that, and I'm amazed. I'm just looking at all these people. I'm like, these are real beekeepers. But here's the difference. was on a worldwide platform where people are coming to my house and I'm putting them in bee suits, they had no clue. And the reason why they had no clue is because these are 60, 70, 80-year-old people that are beekeepers. They don't know anything about Amazon and Amazon experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm in the group, and I'm like, I don't know anything about bees. But I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want them to take my idea.
Right.
So, so I sat in there and learned for a while, and I was just amazed that, you know, I'm talking to people, the first group of people I'm talking to, they got 50 beehives. I got one. Or they might have 100. And then I started growing from there, and then I went to the regional meeting, and there's 500 people in a room. And I'm like, man. And I'm meeting people that, you know, they got 1,000 beehives, and I'm just blown away by that. And then I go to the national meeting in Myrtle Beach, and I'm meeting people that got 10,000 beehives, and I'm like, what do you do with 10,000 beehives? So the almonds that you eat, a lot of the fruit and vegetables that you eat, they come from huge farms, and they are not pollinated by just the local bees in the neighborhood. So if you got 10,000 beehives, what they're doing is they're taking a tractor trailer load of bees and they're dropping them in these citrus orchards or these almond orchards or these fruit farms, and they get paid for that. So a tractor trailer load of bees, you can put 450 beehives on that. So they may get paid $50,000 for that. And then when they come back a month or a month and a half later, the beehives are full of honey. So they harvest that, and then guess where they take them? They take them to the watermelon farms. They take them to the citrus farms. They take them to the blueberry farms. And they do that all across the country. And I didn't have a clue. So that's how I was introduced to the business. But it started to grow. So what I had the bees initially, you would have never seen them because initially they were in my backyard. Nobody knew they were back there. And I'm back there one day, and I'm like, there are thousands of people that drive by my house every day. And because I was doing the experience, I said, I'm going to – and here's what I said to myself. I said, neighbors are nosy. I'm going to put them in the front, and they're going to be like, what are you doing? And they're going to stop. And it grew. And you saw it grow. And what you said, people tell me all the time, I remember when you had one. I remember when you had three. Well, guess how many I have now? I have 60.
Right.
And people tell me that. So once I started going, and once it started taking off, that's when I put the sign out that says local honey. And then when I got the chickens, I put the chicken sign out that says local eggs. And people drop in every day and buy honey or eggs from me every day. And again, I stumbled across the business. Now, let me tell you this real quick, and you may have some questions. So the lady that encouraged me to do it, we laughed about it, and we had an Airbnb Christmas party a couple of years ago, and that same year that I started, I said, I gave her a nice gift certificate to this restaurant that she loved. I gave her like a $200 gift certificate, and I said, I want to give you your part of this business now. This is it. You're not getting anything else. Because by that time, she knew that it had taken off. I said, thank you for encouraging me, but let me give you your gift right now. And then and everybody laughed because everybody in the group knew that the bee business that took off was because of her. And, you know, we laughed about it. And then last year, sadly to say, she died. Now, she didn't die from COVID, but she died from some other complications. So I always want to give her props because there would be no bee business if it wasn't for her. I mean, this lady wasn't taking no for an answer. She was like, this won't fit into the experience, and people love it. So the link that I sent you, if you go on Airbnb Experiences and you hit the city, Atlanta, I come up on the first page, and I've been doing that ever since because I have over 200 five-star reviews, and there's probably 80 experiences in Metro Atlanta. But I come up on the first page, so that's, you'll see it on there. And people love it. And it's grown into all types of stuff. So I started with the experience, and then somebody called me about extracting bees from the house. So I do bee extraction. I sell the honey. I found out people sell bees, and because I'm on 10 acres, I'm like, well, they can sell them, I can sell. So I sell bees, I sell queens. So I have about 6 streams of income from the bees, thanks to her name is Deb Santos.
Mm.
She encouraged me to do this, and I was just as frightened as bees, just like everybody else. But I got over the fear. I saw the money, and I was like, I can do this.
I don't think I would have made it when you said about where you went out there and the guy just, he didn't have on no suit or anything. And I think I'd be like, that's all right. But I would turn around because everybody has a serious fear about bees. You know, a lot of folks have serious fears about bees. And I like that story, you know, and also when you were saying how all these people got, you know, thousands of bees and how they take them and, you know, to the different farms and the importance of bees, that they pollinate the flowers and, you know, and everything for the stuff that we take for, you know, take for granted.
Right.
For the fruits and vegetables. And then for them to go back into the hives and make money, and then they're making, you know, the money off of that, you know, that's fantastic.
Here's the thing. Most of the average person doesn't know it is big. Bees are big business, but we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's big business.
Yeah, you're making money on both sides. You're helping the farmer, and then the bees come back home and bring you honey for you to sell.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Wow. Well, let me go ahead and let Janet or Officer Crenshaw. Either one of you have a question or comment, or Edward Morgan.
Yes. So you sell honey. Do you sell pollen also, bee pollen?
So at the moment, I don't. I know how to harvest it, and I've harvested some pollen just to show some people what I do with the experience and let them taste it. But I actually have a full-time job too. So between my full-time job, and I still have to cut although we're on 10 acres, I still got to maintain that. So I do that. Mm-hmm. And with the chickens, the bees, and the experience and extractions, I got about 8 jobs. So I just decided I'll get to that one day. And plus I still have the Airbnb. So I have to run all that. And it's a one-man show. Now, my wife does help me with we have goats, so she helps with that. And we have we have 75 chickens, so she helps with that. But she does not help with the bees. That's a one-man show. And I have to maintain the bees because you have to treat them for parasites or they'll disappear. And I also have bees in 3 community gardens. So I'm busy. So I can't, and I realize I can't do everything. So that's just one of the things I said I'll get to it one day. And one of the things that I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to set it up because I'm 55. I'm trying to set up what I'm going to do when I retire. So when I retire, my game plan is I'm going to wake up in the morning, get my chicken eggs, greet my Airbnb guests, ask them if they want some fresh eggs, check on the bees, and I'm done for the day. But I'm trying to build it up now. I project that I'm going to retire when I'm 62. So I got about 6 or 7 years before.
Well, I was just wondering because bee pollen is a lot of people is a great demand for bee pollen, you know, because
yeah,
it's got so many medicinal purposes and everything.
Right.
So that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm busy. I work every day. I mean, if I'm not working in corporate America, I'm working for myself.
Right. And Michael did tell me, he said, I went by there, he just had one beehive. You know, now he got all these hives out there. I was like, wow. So I got to come by and check the place out.
Yeah, it keeps me busy.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, Crenshaw, did you have a question?
What type of bee? Because I know, like, most of us, we don't know a lot about bees other than the fact that they annoy the crap out of you, like the carpenter bee, all of that, the wasp, the yellow jacket. What type of bees are you harvesting?
So I have, so that's a good question. So I have a mixture of honeybees. Now, the other bees that you talk about, some of them pollinate on a very small scale, but they don't make honey. The honeybee is, it was imported. All of the honeybees have been imported from around the 1600s when they settled the country. There was nothing sweet to eat, so they knew that honey would produce something sweet. So that's the first reason why the honeybee was introduced to North America. The second reason is because when they started bringing the fruits and vegetables to North America, they needed to be pollinated. So that's how the honeybee landed in North America. So they came from Italy, China, Germany, Africa, and Russia. Now, the African bees are very aggressive, and you really don't want African bees because they can be deadly. They're very aggressive, but we don't have African bees in North Georgia, but they're in South Georgia. And then they're in other parts of the state, but they're trying to get rid of them because, like, I can walk by the beehives that you see in my front yard every day. You couldn't do that with African bees. Now, when I say they're Italian, they're German, today you can't say they're 100% Italian, a German, or Russians, because what happens in nature is they mix.
Right, crossbreed.
And they crossbreed. And so basically all bees in North America today they're basically mutts. They're a mixture of everything. So, like, if you came to my beehive, and I had a class today, and one of the things that I point out is, to the average untrained eye, all the bees look the same. But then I bring them in a little closer, and I say, look at this one. This is black and yellow. This one is brown and yellow. Or this one is black and gray. Or this one is black. That is the genetic variation of the Italians, the Germans, the Russians. All mixed in. And then they're like, oh, I see that. But to the average eye, you wouldn't notice that.
Right.
So that's part of the experience. So keep in mind, when I first started, I couldn't tell you that. But 4 years later, that's part of the experience. I get really into it. And I'm still learning. My ultimate goal is to become a master beekeeper. I'm a certified beekeeper right now. And then next year, I'm going to take the test to become a journeyman. And then the following year, I'm taking the test to be a master beekeeper. So that's my ultimate goal.
So,
but
when
I
ran across one of the bees that were like a honeybee, I don't know how to word my question. Is I want to protect them to help and not kill them because of my fear. I got attacked last summer by some yellow jackets, and they got me, so I'm mad at them when I see them. But how close would I have to get to recognize? I mean,
yellow jackets, if I'm not mistaken, they pollinate just a tad bit. But people call me to destroy them all the time, and I do. You don't get honey from yellow jackets. I think they pollinate a little bit, but I would need to double check that. Again, that's journeyman, master beekeeper question right there. But the most honeybees, they come in different colors. But the yellow jackets, they're in the ground for the most part, and then you got the wasps and the hornets. If you know you got yellow jackets, you might want to get rid of them. But the honeybee, if they get in your house, you don't want to spray those, and you don't want, when you see people that say they spray for mosquitoes, that harms the honeybee, or these large farms that spray for their fruits and vegetables, that harms the honeybee. And what people really don't realize, and I didn't know before I got in it, if the bee disappeared today, there's research to prove that all of mankind would disappear within 3 to 5 years, because you can't get all your food from a cow, or you can't get it from the fish. You have to have the fruits and vegetables, and they pollinate on mass scale. And that's why the honeybee was brought to North America, because when they started bringing all the other fruits and vegetables, all the stuff that wasn't here, they knew that they needed to be pollinated. So that's how the honeybee got here. So if it disappeared today, based on today's population, we would disappear in 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So when you see, the next time you see a honeybee, don't kill it. Just let it do what it does. For the most part, a honeybee will not mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
You somehow, if you're stung by a honeybee, I didn't say yellow jacket, but somehow you've disturbed that bee somehow. Whether you disturb the nest, or it just so happens you and that honeybee met for whatever reason at that particular location. But they're not going to come out and just say, oh, I'm going to sting people. They don't operate that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, African bee will do that. If they see you, they will chase you. If you're close enough to their nest, and you don't even have to disturb it, you're done.
Right.
You can just walk by it, and they're gonna be on you.
Yeah, I saw a story about African bees where they will chase you for over a mile, and also there were stories where even if you jump into a swimming pool and stay under for just as long as you can hold your breath, they will linger around there. So they can sense
you. There you go.
Now, isn't there some truth to that with not just with bees, but with certain other insects where if you kill them, they give off, what do they call it, pheromone? Isn't that the word that goes into the air?
Yeah, pheromone.
Pheromone, right.
So the pheromone.
Uh-huh. There's truth to that where it alerts the other bees?
Well, what happens is if you get stung, not that when they die, but if you get stung by a bee, you just got marked, and then more bees are coming. And they're coming because of the alarm pheromone. You just got marked by the alarm pheromone, and that's when they come to get you. Because for the honeybee, we're not talking about yellow jackets, but for the honeybee, they'll set the alarm pheromone, and they can only sting you one time. You'll never be stung by a male bee. It'll always be a female bee, and they can only sting you one time because their stinger is attached to their abdomen, and when they sting you, their stinger is barbed, and it gets stuck in the skin, and they pull away, and it pulls their stomach away. However, queen can sting you repeatedly because its stinger is smooth, so it can go in and out of your skin many times. And the same thing with like yellow jackets or hornets. They can sting you repeatedly.
Mm.
But a honeybee will only sting you one time. And you'll never be stung by a male bee because male bees don't have stingers.
Mm.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
So, yeah.
Now, when I look at you, what you sent me online, and Janet made the flyer, by the way, that I sent you.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Janet.
My pleasure.
The picture of you holding on to the bee, I've just always been amazed how, and you don't have on a net or anything. I mean, how does that happen? I mean, how does it you grab onto and you're not disturbing them?
So, good question. So what happened, there was a swarm. I don't know if anybody's heard of a swarm. So when bees swarm, which is a natural birth of a colony, they'll leave the old queen, and half of that colony will leave, and they'll land on a tree, they'll land in your house, they'll land wherever. And so that particular day, my first swarm landed on a tree in the yard. And because I had been reading certain information, it says during a swarm, the bees are less aggressive. One, because they don't have anything to protect. Two, they gorged themselves on food before they left, so they became lazy. So that picture is a picture that I've taken. I actually have a video of me actually sticking my hand in a swarm that was on a tree in my yard. So that's where that picture came from. But I knew the average person doesn't know that they become less aggressive. So I slowly stuck my hand in a nest of bees that was on a tree, and then I put both of my hands in there, made the video, and people were like, oh, you're crazy. I wasn't crazy. It was I had more information than you had. And now my wife was furious about that, because here's the deal. Believe it or not, I'm allergic to bees, but I am not severely allergic. So what happens to me, and it's happened, when I get stung in the face, my face swells. And in an allergic reaction, the way you can tell if you're allergic to bees, if you're stung and you swell, that's an allergic reaction. However, when I'm stung in my arm or my leg, nothing happens, but in my face it swells. And my wife was furious about it. She's like, and I didn't go to the doctor, and it was my first time being stung. So she was like, what if you died and I had to tell people you died because you stuck your hand in some bees? And she promised me, I had to promise her that I would not do that again. So I haven't done that again because I didn't want to hear it.
Wow.
Most 99% of the time I have a bee suit on when I deal with the bees, because I don't like, because when I get stung in the face, you know, it swells and it distorts my look, and I got pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I post it on Facebook sometimes and my friends are looking at me like, oh, you crazy, but I laugh all the way to the bank.
Okay. Hey, I got a question right now from a listener. Mashana asked, what was the process to start raising the chicken?
Why did I do it?
That's how she questioned it. What was the process to start raising the chicken?
So it's a good question. So because we're on 10 acres, again, I wanted to do this farming thing, and I was at an Airbnb conference. There's a lady in Atlanta that has the number one Airbnb in Georgia. And what it is she has a treehouse in Atlanta that's in a bamboo forest. And she was doing a conference, and I was doing a conference on the bees. I mean, I was doing my presentation on the bees, and she was doing hers about her llama experience and her treehouse in this bamboo forest. So, you know, afterwards we started talking, and she was like, yeah, I got chickens. And I was like, I'm thinking about getting chickens. And she was like, I want some bees. So we bartered. So my first set of chickens I got from her, and her first set of bees she got from me. And that's how I got chickens. And then once I found out that people would buy free-range chicken eggs, I was like, well, I'll just add this to the bee business. So I sell free-range chicken eggs, and people love them. Because the eggs that you buy in the grocery store are, this is August. Those eggs were probably laid in April or May. My eggs that I sold today were laid last night or today. And there is a clear difference in the yolk.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is brighter. And people want free-range chicken as opposed to what you get in the grocery store. Now, they're $6 a dozen compared to, you know, you may, and every once in a while somebody will say, you kind of high. Well, I sell out every day. And the market is $6 a dozen. I know people that sell them for $7, but I thought my price was good at $6, and I'm happy with that.
Okay.
So
and
once I got into that, I was like, I started selling.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also had another question regarding the eggs is, do you know or can you share what is the shelf life compared to your free range and commercial eggs?
Well, I don't know. So I don't know what the shelf life is because, I sell them a couple ways. Nobody wants eggs that have poop on them. Well, I'm not going to say nobody does. There are some people that don't want me to wash the poop off. And as long as the poop is on it and the natural bloom from the egg is there, you can leave eggs out at room temperature. A lot of people didn't notice because I didn't know it. You can leave them out for a month. Room temperature. the egg is still good. Now, once I wash them, they have to be refrigerated. And I might have eggs in my refrigerator. I got a special refrigerator just for the eggs. They may be in there maybe a day or two. They don't go any further than that because I sell them. I probably sell, I mean, I got 75 chickens, so I got a list of people that buy the chickens on a regular basis. Now, when they get them home, I don't think they're sitting in their refrigerators over maybe a week or two.
Right.
So, you know, I that's what I would say. I mean, nobody's complaining about them. They're free range. They're healthier eggs. I mean, if you've ever seen how they get those eggs to hatch them and sell them in the grocery store, you know, those eggs, those chickens don't move. They
right.
That's what they do. They eat and lay an egg. That's all they do. My eggs, I let my chickens out every day around, and they free range until probably 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And then they automatically go back in the roost and I lock them up. But they get all the grass, the worms. They get the natural stuff as opposed to something that we're feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say you had goats?
I have three goats.
So what are you doing, getting milk or cheese or just what?
Well, initially I got the goats because when we were in California, I used to see goats grazing large parts of land. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do that. And they rent them out. So I did that, and I've rented it out a couple of times, but I don't have the time. I don't have the time to do it, and I don't have the time to milk the goats because if you milk them one time, you got to milk them every day, and I just don't have the time to do that. So I have three now, mainly just to keep down the overgrowth in my own backyard because all of it's not clear. Some of it is trees, so I keep them back there, and they keep the weeds and stuff down. Every once in a while, if the right person comes along, I'll rent them out. But one day, maybe when I retire, I'll expand that whole operation. Because, I mean, there's a demand for that, too. I work every day, and I can only do so much.
As far as your fruits and veg, are you also selling those, too?
Well, here's the funny thing. So once I got into the bee thing, and I planted my first garden, I was like, oh, this is hard work. Look, I planted those collard greens and then the cucumbers and the tomatoes, and you got to hoe out that garden. And I was like, oh, I'm not made for that. I told my wife, I said, we done with that. I planted that one year, and I haven't planted a thing since because that's hard work. The bee stuff is easy.
Right.
But when I started breaking my back trying to keep the grass out of them rows and you don't make that much money. I mean, I for the little bit that I planted, I wasn't going to make any money. I was like, oh, this bee business is it. So I haven't opened up. I haven't planted one more thing. We done with that.
You got to get a green house.
Nah, we done with that. I experienced it. I did it.
Right.
But I was like, oh no, this is hard work. I'm not doing that.
Now, the
and anybody
that
that's a farmer, I can appreciate. I did it. I was like, oh no, this is backbreaking work. My dad lives in North Carolina, and he has two tractors now. And I said to him after I did that, I said, what did y'all do back in the day when he said, we got a mule in that hoe? I said, there's no way I would have been doing that. He said, well, you wouldn't have been. I said, you mean it? Because they were on 50 acres. So, you know, I remember everybody out in the field. He was like, that's how we ate. And I'm sitting there like, there's no way I could. I can't see it. I mean, I understand it. You know, they couldn't afford the tractor and you know, so they had a mule. I'm like, but that's backbreaking work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a better appreciation.
But now, I have to ask you this now. So like I said, my friend came by and the other day and gave me some of your honey and gave me some of your eggs. I got the white egg, the brown egg, and I got one that almost looked like a greenish blue, I guess.
It's not look like it's blue. And some of them are blue and some of them are green. So that's a crossbreed of a black Copper Moran rooster and what is called an Easter Egger. The Easter Egger, so the black Copper Moran gives you a deep brown egg, and the Easter Egger gives you a blue egg. But the thing, the reason you don't see them in the grocery store is because it's all about production. So, and the numbers, like a chicken, the average chicken, if it's brown or white, they'll give you an egg a day. But these special breeds only get, out of 365 days, they may give you an egg maybe 200 days out of the year. So that's why you don't see them in the grocery store. Again, it's about production, right? So when you see these big farms, they want an egg a day. They didn't, you know, they're not concerned about whether it's blue or green. So once I got into it and I started seeing that, I crossbred some chickens. So now I have blue, green, beige, brown, white, and I introduce that to people, and they're like, what? Because, you know, again, we don't know. My dad lived on a farm, never seen a green egg, right? I thought, and when I read about that in Dr. Seuss, I was like, well, this is, you know, this is a story. That's a real thing. There are green eggs out there that you can eat. I never knew up until about 2 years ago. And I'm 55. And I'm sure some of your listeners are like, there's no way there's a green egg. But there are green eggs out there. But here's the thing. I have free-range chicken eggs, and that's why I get $6 a dozen. I could easily push it to $7, but, you know, I'm not greedy.
Mm-hmm.
I sell out every day.
You know, in fact, I looked in the refrigerator, and I had to think about it because they did give me two white, one brown, and I have a green one, and I have a beige one. Right. So I haven't cracked them yet, but I'm going to have to try and see if there's a difference.
I want you to do is I want you to compare that. If you have any store-bought, I want you to compare it to crack them side by side, and you tell me which one is brighter.
Okay,
Different too, and they probably taste different too. Now, I don't eat eggs, but my wife and everybody else swears by them. And everybody I sell them to, they're like, I don't want anything bought out of the store.
Even free-range chickens taste better than store-bought chickens.
Right. So that's what I do on that acreage that you drive by every day. And keep in mind, I stumbled across the business and was kicking and fighting. Like this lady was literally getting on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I'm like, you're getting on my nerves, but I'm going to do it just to shut your mouth.
So the people who are listening right
now,
and there's a few of them who are listening now that are texting me and are in the chat room, and they're texting me, and they want to know about how do they, or, well, they would like to get some information how they can get your product. And, you know, like you said, the dozen of eggs is $6. It's a pound of honey? Correct.
Yeah, I sell the pound. 1 pound is $15, and I sell the 2 pound bottle for $23. And if I have to ship, typically if it's one bottle, if it's 1 pound or 2 1-pound bottles, I can ship that for $9 from the post office. But if you get into the 2 pound bottle, the price goes up to like $12. It just depends on where it ships to. But if I have to ship, there is a shipping charge included in that. So $15 for 1 pound, $23 for 2 pounds, and then you got, you know, $9 or $12, just depending on what you buy and how many.
Right.
And I can ship across the country. Across the country. Can I give out my telephone number?
Sure. Go right ahead.
So my telephone number is 470-373-0528. If you want to see the page on Airbnb, you go to Airbnb Experiences, and you type in, or you hit, when it says the city, you type in Atlanta, and you'll see me pop up on the first page. I'm the only, here's the funny thing. I was the only beekeeper doing it for probably 2 or 3 years. I got competition. So there's another lady that's doing it. And I can tell she bit off of me because her price is the same as mine. So she watched me for a while, and she said, well, I guess if he can get $40 a person, I can get 40. But, you know, I'm not worried. I think she has like 10 reviews. I got 200. And there's enough business for everybody, so it's no big deal. But I just laughed.
Now, when you say experiences, like you said, it's about an hour long, right?
I know. It's an hour and a half to two. If I got a full group, because you can't have any – I can have as many groups as I want. I can have as many classes as I want in any day, but you can't have any more than 10 people in a class. And sometimes they fill up. Sometimes I got one person. Sometimes I got 10. And if I get 10, I always open up a second time on that same day in case. And then – so what I do, I play with the times. One day a week, I do it at 9 o'clock in the morning because everybody can't do evening. So on Tuesdays, I do it 9 o'clock in the morning, and people come. Sometimes it's full. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 people. I'll do that from, like, 9 to 11, and then I go to work at 12 o'clock. Now I work from, like, 12 to 5, 12 to 6. And then on Thursdays, I do an evening class. I do it from, like, 4 to 5:30, 4 to 6. And then on Saturdays, I do a 9 o'clock in the morning. But I'll open up a second one if that one gets full. I used to do it on Sunday. I was doing it like for a week, and then I was realized I'm like, I gotta take a day off, so I don't do it on Sundays.
Right.
You know, because like I said, I work every day. Like even though I don't have a class, I don't work my government job on Sunday, on Saturday or Sunday, and I don't do the experience anymore on Sunday. But I'm all, you know, cutting the grass. I'm doing something, feeding the chickens,
right,
letting them out. I'm doing something.
You know, I didn't realize you had that much land back there. I knew you had a lot of land, but you could see that. But I didn't realize it was that much, you know.
Yeah, well, the average, nobody knows this. Nobody, that's the thing. Nobody knows what's back there, and that's good.
Right, you know.
I try to keep it that way. I don't want you to know what's back there.
Right, right. Yeah, the way it's set up is really nice. Well, as I said, when you go by there, and you know, and as I said, that's your house. It sits back from the road. You see the beehives going all across. You know, so that's fantastic. Because I never would have even known that you had chickens.
You so, never knew what?
I never knew that you had chickens.
Yeah, I have 75 chickens back there. And depending on where you live, the roosters are crowing around 4:35 in the morning. Nobody's complained, but they really, there's nothing they can do because I'm zoned agricultural, so I can have chickens back there. And then here's my new project that I'm working on. My interest, I sold this guy some bees about a year ago, and his neighbors were complaining, and he sold them back to me at a really good price, plus all the equipment, so I bought them. And he was like, I'm surprised you don't have peacocks. And I said, what? And he piqued my interest to the point where I'm getting ready to get peacocks.
Oh, okay.
So I've been in Facebook groups with peacocks.
They make a lot of noise, too.
Well, I heard that. but, you know, I'm thinking there's not a lot of noise. They only do it for a short period of time. But, I'm going to get a couple, and we're going to see if it's – hopefully it's not to the point where the neighbors will complain. But if my plan is to get them, and that's going to be an experience. Because, you know, the lady that introduced me to the bees, she has llamas, and she's busy. And I'm like, I'm going to do bees and llamas and chickens. I mean, not bees and llamas. I'm going to do peacock. You ever seen a full peacock with the feathers out?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. But I've seen peacocks before, but I never really paid them any mind. And this guy says, I got access to them, and they're not cheap. So I'm going to get a couple, and I'm going to breed them, and I'm going to start selling them one day. And I'm going to have – one day, you're going to walk by my property, and you're going to see 5 or 6 peacocks walking around in the yard.
They're beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
I
know they are.
The female is ass, but the male is beautiful.
The male is beautiful, and they come in different colors. They come in white, they come in blue, and they come in green. And I'm going to have them in my yard. Like, Mike, like you said, you don't know, but if you one day you should stop and introduce yourself. But here's the deal. Depending on when you come, if you come in the evening, there's probably 40, 50 chickens walking around in the backyard. You never knew that.
Right. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And right now, I got chickens walking around in my backyard. They because we have woods back there, they rarely come to the front. But they're always in the back. And if you come down the driveway, then you look down the driveway, you'll see them. But they
right.
free range and even. But the average person doesn't know. The only way you would know, and you don't read the sign. I got a sign out there that says free range. I mean, I got fresh eggs and local honey.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. That's truly amazing. Yeah, I stumble.
And here's the thing. So this is what I want to say before we go. I don't know when we're going to end, but I learned a lot. I stumbled across Airbnb. I stumbled across the bees, and I stumbled across the chickens. I didn't go to school for this. I was receptive. I read some stuff. Some people gave me some information, and although I initially was pushing it away, you never know how things end up. And I'm saying all that to say sometimes, and, you know, because I always have to tell my friends, just because you don't understand what I'm doing, don't knock my hustle.
That's
I'm making
right.
very good money. Now, you may not want to put your hands dirty.
Job. You know,
say that again?
You might not need that your regular job.
Oh, I mean, I could, you know, here's the funny thing. I could actually give it up if I wanted to. But I only work about 5 hours a day, right? I'm in the position now where I go and come as I please. So while everything is still in order, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to work this job. I'm going to work these 4 or 5 hours a day. And then so I might go in at 6 because I literally go in when I want to. Some days I wake up, I'm like, I'm going to be there at 6 o'clock. If I get in there at 6 o'clock, I'm out the door by 1. Some days I wake up, I'm like, I ain't going in until 8. Guess what? Go in at 8, I'm out the door at 1, 2 o'clock. And there ain't nobody bothering me. And I'm the general manager, right? I'm a food service director at a retirement community. Everything is in order. I got my employees properly positioned. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. I pass all my state and city surveys. So why give it up? I don't work that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I get off work. I get off at 1. I'm at home by 1:30. I let the chickens out. I'm cutting the grass. I'm selling honey. I'm selling eggs. I'm doing something in the yard. And it's stress-free. And any employee that comes in there stressing me, they're not going to be there long. You're not messing up my good job.
Well, look, we're down to 4 minutes.
You
got
to go.
We're down to 4 minutes before we get out of here. Do us another favor. Please share your information again for all of our listeners, how they can contact you, the number.
Okay, the telephone number, you can call me or text me, 470-373-0528. And again, you can reach me on the Airbnb experiences. Just type in Airbnb experiences and hit Atlanta, and I should pop up. And then you can reach me on Instagram. Instagram is beans, BEANS, bees, BEES, and honey. You can reach me through Instagram. I'm on Instagram. So one of those three ways you can reach me. And I can ship around the country if you want honey. Or if you're in the metro Atlanta, or if you're – because people come from – now, keep in mind, people come from around the world. I've had people – because, you know, people travel to Atlanta, and they – you know, they – because so what happens is when you book an Airbnb in Atlanta, and if my date coincides with the dates that you're there, Airbnb automatically sends you an email saying, hey, while you're in Atlanta, check out these experiences. And so when you open that whole thing up, I pop up.
Wow.
So that's what Airbnb does. They do all that marketing. I don't do any of that. They
right.
take care
they
of all that. Now, they get a hefty fee. They get a fee for that, but people have come from around the world. I mean, all over the country. Right? And so Airbnb, because Airbnb is a worldwide platform, so I get people from all over. So if you ever visit Atlanta, make sure you come check me out.
All right, then.
Hey, you guys, today, Mr. Edward Morgan has been our guest. You know, I guess some folks might be wanting to call him the Bee Whisperer. But thank you, man, for joining us. And I'm going to have to stop by. I'll give you a holler when I get a chance to stop by. We're getting down to a few more minutes. Again, thank our guest, Mr. Edward Morgan, my co-host Janet Davis, Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw, and also Time and Ship, who was with us in the first hour. Hey, we got to get out of here. Make sure you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And looking forward to talking to you next week. We'll have to see. Thanks again. God bless. Have a nice evening. We're out of here.
Thank
Goodbye.
You.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.